Hello there.
Peeling is such a gross.
They're still peeling, and I did it a week ago.
It's such a gross thing to see written out in with words.
Yeah, foot peeling was one of our kickoff topics, but it's kind of gross, even though I kind of like it.
Yeah.
Like burnt skin. But does burnt skin anyway tie into Birds of Prey? Laura finally watched it. Yay!
I did finally watch Birds of Prey. It was very exciting. What was I doing? I think that was Columbus Day. I had the day off work, and so I literally did not move from my couch the entire day. I think I watched 3 or 4 movies over the course of the day. It was amazing.
Ooh, what else did you watch?
I watched Addams Family Values, which was great. And then I watched the first Addams Family movie. Like the one that came out before Addams Family Values.
Yeah, like 91.
Yeah, still good. Not as strong as Values. Values is definitely stronger. It's a better story. It's funnier.
One of the few sequels that's better. That's not very often.
I know, right? Yeah. And then I actually started to watch the new animated one that like Oscar Isaac is in. See, we'll try it back around to Star Wars. It sucked. I only watched about 30 minutes, probably less than 30 minutes of it, and then turned it off. I was like, this is not the same and I hate it.
I had no desire to do that. You know what I did watch, though, this week?
What's that?
That I really regret. I didn't think I would regret it because... Well, I just didn't think I would regret it, and I totally did. I watched Cats.
I thought you were going to talk about Haunting of Bly Manor and just be like, oh, I got really scared watching it at home by myself.
It just segued better to talk about Cats.
Why
and
the
regretting
fuck
watching things.
Did you watch? Okay, and remember you said you thought you were going to like it. You were like, I'm fully convinced that you said you were going to like it because you like Andrew Lloyd Webber. And did you see it on stage? Have you seen Cats on stage?
I did. Okay. I did. And I got to go backstage and watch them do all the makeup before it started.
And you liked it on stage, right?
Yes. Okay. I've even read Old Possum's Book of Practical Cats. So in the movie, sometimes they forgot to like CGI their hands.
Yep.
And that was weird. And then I just kept thinking about how they had to edit out Jason Derulo's junk for being too big. And also, like, I think some versions might have cat buttholes.
I was going to say, I felt like I read something about buttholes at one point. So, yeah.
Yeah, and they changed the plot. So the plot changed. Spoiler alert, guys, because you probably all really care about this. They changed the plot to where McCavity was, like, kidnapping the other cats. Like, and magically moving them to a barge and chaining them up.
Who played McCavity?
Idris Elba, I think.
Oh, got it. Okay.
But, oh, it was just like, and then they made Victoria, like, really a key piece, even though the only reason she's a key piece in the thing is because she's, like, the only one who's a bright color and does a little ballet dance. And she's not a main character at all in the musical. I feel, like, so nerdy bringing that up, but it's true.
Yeah, no, you should. You know what's awful? Even more awful, because you watched it on, what, HBO? It's free on HBO right now. Before it was on HBO, I actually paid to rent it. Like, I think I paid the $4 on Amazon to rent it, because I was just curious, and it, like, kept coming up on, like, the Fire Stick home screen or whatever, and I was just like, no, I'm gonna watch this. Like, I'm gonna watch this. It's gonna be fun. And then I think I got like 20 minutes into it. I was like, I hate it. And then you have to finish it within 48 hours. And so I paid fucking $4 for it and didn't watch it. I was like, which sucks. That's the most embarrassing thing of all, is that I actually paid for it.
That's really impressive. You know what you can't watch, though?
What's that?
Force Toast, a Star Wars happy hour, because it's a podcast.
Yeah, we get to watch it because we can see each other. And it's really not a fun show. You guys aren't missing anything. But yeah, this is October 17th when we're recording. You're listening to episode 46, and my name's Laura.
I'm Alice. Hello. All right. Happy hour time. Boom, boom. What are we drinking? I think we both have fancy things today. Yours is infinitely fancier. So why don't you go first?
I doubt that. So I was like sitting, funny story, I was sitting in the living room and Rose was like, oh, you're going to record soon? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, what are you going to drink? And I was like, oh, I think I'm just going to put some Fireball in my tea or whatever. And she's like, oh, okay. And at that point, she did not say, well, I'm going to go make a blended cocktail. Do you want some? Which is what the correct thing to say was.
Right.
I just walked into the kitchen and found her like blending something up. And I was like, I want some. So she made like a passion fruit daiquiri. So it's got passion fruit syrup, rum, and lime, a little bit of simple syrup. And then I threw a little sprig of mint in the top.
It looks very tropical.
Mm-hmm. It tastes very tropical. It's delightful.
And your cup that you're drinking out of is kind of like a coconut shape. And are you using a straw?
Yes. It's a stemless wine glass, and I've got a little wee short metal straw. Good times.
Yeah. That's very, very tropical of you.
I know. What are you drinking? What have you got?
So I have something special in a big cup today, and you know what it is. So
adult copy.
Yeah, got a big one. That sounds bad. Anyway, Laura got me this awesome kit to make French martinis for my B-Day. And so I made a really big one, but it took me a long time. I made one the other day, too. And I felt so stupid because I couldn't figure out how to open the bottles. like the Grey Goose bottle and the Chambord bottle just like really confused me, and I felt stupid that I wasn't figuring it out. But now I know, because those things are too fancy for me to normally handle.
Oh, that's really funny. That's awesome. I actually was like thinking when I was going around, like I was walking around Binny's trying to be like, I need to buy this stuff so she can like make her favorite cocktail. And I was like, she must already have Chambord like in her apartment, right? Like if this is her favorite cocktail, I'm sure she already has it. And then I was just like, eh, fuck it. I'll just get her thing anyway. And it was like the smaller one of the bigger. There were like two different sizes. And yeah, I'm glad that it worked out. I'm glad you actually didn't already have stuff to make it. Yay.
Yeah, it's delicious. I don't have fancy things. I just buy cheap wine.
Fuck yeah. Well, now you've got some fancy stuff. So yay. Enjoy it. That was Alice's birthday. It wasn't last weekend. It was like the day after the last time we recorded.
Sundays ago.
Yeah.
It was a day where I would have been editing and I didn't want to do that.
Oh, that's right. Because we recorded early. Now I remember. But yeah, I went over to Alice's neck of the woods and went and got pedicures. And I brought her a little present of cocktail stuff, and it was really fun.
Yeah, I loved it. And thanks to everyone else who has sent me things, too. You know who you are.
Oh, yay. I got to have a little dog time with Wednesday, too. I got to have a little reunion with her. That was fun.
She was very excited to see you. My neighbor calls her Dancy Prancy because she just gets excited and does the like, and the wiggle and stand thing.
Yeah. She gets excited for everyone except you. She's really over you.
That's correct. When she sees me, she just stares. Even if I've been gone a long time, she'll just stare, or she will like look like she's kind of like, what the fuck is going on? And just kind of like crouch.
She'll be like, oh, it's you again. Did you bring any food or what?
Yeah, like, why are you back? Like, this is stupid. And it's really kind of demoralizing, but that's okay. All right. Housekeeping. So, Jedi Way, last episode, From a Certain Point of View, Empire Strikes Back, and some High Republic.
Yeah, we talked about, John Rooka and I talked about, like, in almost in its entirety, the From a Certain Point of View book. Like, at that point, the story synopses were out from Del Rey, and so we kind of talked through what we're most excited for, what we think is going to be interesting, and that was really fun. So check that out. It was also our first live episode. He and I have been doing them pre-recorded up until now, and so we decided to finally take the show on the road and go live, so that was exciting.
Ooh, nice. I'd be scared to do that. I hate doing live things.
Yeah. It was a little scary, but we recorded a bunch, and we only had one thing that we had to cut out while we were doing the recordings of the other shows, and it wasn't even something that I fucked up. It was something John fucked up, so it was on him. So I didn't have a problem.
Nice.
Doing that. Yeah.
Nice.
Anyway. All right.
So also coming up, keep your ears peeled, whatever. And we're going to be our friend Dr. DeVore. We have a show coming up with him, his show, A Larger View of the Force. He sends in emails and funny Yoda voices to us. But we're going to be chatting with him about Rebels, and that'll probably be out in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, stay tuned. We'll let you guys know. Probably our next episode, we'll have a better idea of what date you can expect that. So yeah, it'll be a little fun, like, Force Toast listener, Force Toast host reunion.
Yeah, I'm really excited. And then last but not least, thank you, Jeremy, for pushing us over the edge of 100 reviews, and we're even at 101 now. In honor of that, I wanted to read Jeremy's review. It has the title, Burp, all caps, exclamation point.
And it's bolded in our notes.
Yes, it is. Love the show. Keep it up, girls. Thanks for all the hard work. Yay.
Thank you so much, Jeremy, for taking the time to leave that review and for getting us over the line. Over 100 reviews on Apple Podcasts. We're really excited. We've been like trying to get over that 100 hump for a while, and yay, that's exciting.
Yes, and thanks to everyone who has reviewed us over the time, except for the guy who called us disaffected hoes. But yay, thank you, everyone. We appreciate it. It's really made us happy to accomplish that.
No, that's amazing. And it's really like the best thing to like help other people find our show, you guys. So if you haven't taken the time to review, like please keep them coming. Like that is really the best way that helps Apple's algorithm find other Star Wars fans so that they can find us. So yay.
Mm-hmm. Caravan of corrections.
Yeah, we got a few.
Okay, they're mostly stupid.
I know.
They're all just stupid. We're just hard on ourselves.
Well, yeah, can we also just announce real quick that nobody else pointed these out to us? This is actually all stuff that we realized while we were editing. So, yeah, you guys all suck for not noticing our little mistakes. So go, Alice, what you got?
No, maybe I think we're just assholes to ourselves. Like, we're like, ah, fuck me. So when we were talking about eating chicken or something to do with chicken, I meant to say boiled chicken was gross. And I said broiled because they sound really, there's just one letter difference, but I fucked it up. Boiled chicken, I think, is really kind of gross and bland. Not broiled. Broiled is fine.
Gotcha. Yeah. On other chicken related notes, I don't know why chicken, like chickens was obviously a huge topic of discussion in our last episode.
The chicken in a pot.
Oh, that's right. I was going to say we wouldn't know because we never remember what we talk about. But chickens are, I think I mentioned something like, oh, chickens are canon now because they were in the Ewok movies. But then Solo had the song called Chicken in a Pot. So I was like, they're canon. Chickens are actually mentioned by name in Black Spire. I think I did realize, like, in while she's running around, Vi is running around Batu, she mentions chickens. There's a mention of small children chasing chickens or selling eggs. So eggs and chickens are, in fact, Star Wars canon.
Do you think they look like our chickens?
Yes. I think they look exactly like our chickens, but I think they're lime green.
Maybe the chickens with the feathery feet. And it's funny that you said lime green, because in my mind, I was picturing green.
Oh, I almost said purple. I don't know why I went with lime green. I don't. At the last minute, it was a last minute switch out in my head.
I think I was thinking like Wizard of Oz, those horses that turn green, but then they turn all the colors. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good times. One other caravan of corrections we had. We were talking a lot about Keira Knightley in our last episode because she couldn't remember the name of the character she played in Phantom Menace, which, you know, who, whatever, girl, you got zero fucks to give, and that's totally fine. We talked about how old she was. I think I ended up looking it up because I wasn't sure how old she actually was at that time, and I just knew that she was, like, 18 or something when they filmed Love Actually, and turns out she was, like, 13 or 14 when they were making The Phantom Menace. So a little bit older than we thought, but still, I'm trying to think of anything remarkable from when I was, like, 13 or 14 years old, and I'm like, I got nothing. I don't remember anything from that time.
Sure you do. So 13 or 14, well, I was 13 when Y2K, everyone had a freak out, and also girl growing up things happen when you're about that age, and
yeah,
I have memories.
See, I'm tall, so I had girl things happening earlier than that. Which I think is a common thing with tall people. But I also, when I was 13, there was when 9/11 happened. So there you go. Something remarkable then.
Wow, that sounds so weird.
God, right?
What else happened when I was 13? Let's see. I still bought clothes at Limited 2, and my friend and I thought it was cool to have matching outfits.
That's dope. That sounds right. That sounds accurate for you.
And I think I saw the movie There's Something About Mary with my mother, and she just remembers, or I just remember her telling me, don't tell your friends about this.
Oh my god, what a cringe movie to see with your mom. I've never actually seen it, but I have a general idea of what it's about. Like, Jesus.
She had to explain what masturbation was to me, because there's that scene where Cameron Diaz is like, oh, what's that on your ear? How he got on his ear? I don't know. What's that on your ear? Hair gel? And then she like runs it through her hair and has a big like alfalfa cowlick.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And mom decided to explain that to me because I didn't get it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
She could have just left it. It just looked funny, but I didn't know really what was going on. I think they showed him jerking off. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So I don't even know how we got on that topic anymore.
Yeah, let's not dwell on it.
Yep, let's go to news. We've got there's a lot of Mando news, which is most of the news nowadays.
I know, but that's kind of, that sort of works, you know, since we're about to get all of the the Mandalorian is supposed to premiere soon. Is it by the time this our next episode comes out? Yeah, we'll record on the 31st and the first one will be out, so that's exciting. But for right now, all we've got is, to start, a piece of news that we're not going to get to cover because it's going to happen on Monday. Monday Night Football, 2 days from now. So it'll be the day before this episode comes out. There's going to be a Mandalorian exclusive look that happens at some point during whatever the Monday Night Football game is. It's not clear if that's going to be like a clip of like an episode or if it's going to be a trailer. It just said exclusive look, but that news came out earlier this week, so that's kind of exciting. We're gonna get something.
I hope it's like the first 2.5 minutes of the first episode.
Yeah, because I think something like that, if it was something, it might prompt people to be like, oh yeah, I need to probably go back and rewatch that whole series just to like remind myself what happened, so I'm like ready to go for season two.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because right now you've got about 2 weeks to sort of get yourself caught back up, you know?
Yeah, it's only 8 episodes, and they're short, too. I forgot about that. I wonder if the episodes will be longer this season, because they were only, like, 20-something minutes for the most part.
Yeah, some of them were really short. I don't know if they were 20 minutes, though. Weren't each of them, they were at least 30 minutes long, right?
I don't think so.
Really? I remember there was one of them that I was, like, really pissed off at how short it was. I remember being like, what the fuck, was that it? But I know that I remember the ending was kind of a two-parter, like episodes 7 and 8 were kind of they kind of coincided a little bit. So, but I would love to see longer episodes. I mean, I think we talked about this once before on the show, but like, I would think they now have maybe a higher budget to work with because the season one was so successful, but who knows?
Yeah. Getting that dough out, all that Baby Yoda merch. Heyo.
Fuck yeah.
So another thing, there was an article in Variety, and basically, they're talking about the show, general stuff. It was a really long article, but how, like, they were good to go with season two, season three's on the way. And someone brought up if maybe there would be a movie. Pedro Pascal's like, oh, I'm really good with streaming, but they didn't say no.
Yeah, yeah. Jon Favreau basically was just like, I'm not really in any rush to, like, take it into a different medium than the streaming, but you know, it's not something that we're totally closed off to, so, you know, we can be flexible and we'll just kind of see where it takes us. That's not verbatim what he said, I'm summarizing, but that, I don't know, you're right, it was a really long article that really didn't say much, just that little bit at the end about like, hey, how about a movie? And then they're like, I don't know.
Yeah, I hope they don't, actually.
Really?
Yeah, because they chose to do it on streaming, and the reason they would make it into a movie would be because fans probably a lot asked for it and people really enjoy it, but I think they should leave it at streaming and just do some, give us something different and use their resources on something different than giving people air quote what they want, because we know what happens when they give people what they want. And it's,
yeah
I'd rather them just old trust, what's the word I'm looking, old, there's a quote, like old trusty,
old reliable,
there you go.
Old trusty.
I don't know what that sounds like, but like,
I don't know either.
You know, I used to say, I was so, there's a few things that I've said wrong my whole life, and I never realized it until like my 20s. One of them is get the showboat on the road, which doesn't make sense because it's a boat and they're on water.
Yeah.
But the other one is, you know, if something's a big help, it comes in handy. Mm-hmm. And if something's a really big help, I used to say it'll come in big handy.
Oh, boy. and that's on Alice growing up in Louisiana.
No one ever corrected me until, again, I was in my mid to late 20s. So, yep.
You're like, eh, wait.
Yeah. I mean, I also didn't know Benjamin Franklin wasn't a president, so.
I feel like a lot of people get that confused, though. That one's fair. That one's fair game.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like all of those people, you know, like he's on our money and stuff, so.
That's exactly it. He's on money.
He fits the profile of a president, you know. Old white guy with spectacles. So back to Mandalorian. I think this was earlier this week. It was, looks like it was October 13th. There was a new Mandalorian TV spot, maybe, / clip. I don't know what it is. Disney Plus put it on their, they featured it on their Twitter account, and now it's on YouTube. But there's a couple of new shots that were that were included in this little like TV spot. It was about 30 seconds long total that they put up on the YouTubes. Did you click through this? It's really not anything new or remarkable. It all kind of looks like it's part of the color palette we've come to expect for season two.
Oh, I love this spot so much mm-hmm. more. I just watched it. I love this spot so much more than what we got.
Than the trailer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because did we have Grand Moff... What's his face? Did we have him
like Moff Gideon?
Out? Yeah,
Moff no, Gideon. I don't remember that being included in the trailer, but that's not to say that it wasn't. There's a new shot, like a new angle of Mando and the baby on a boat.
Yeah, there's that. More Mando flying and landing in his jetpack like the fucking Rocketeer. We get Grand Moff Gideon's voice in the beginning, which I really liked because that's something I appreciated. And then also there's a shot of Mando, Cara Dune, and Greef Karras on like a ship or something because like the sliding
like
doors open.
Yeah, it looks like some sort of like Imperial structure. Like it might be like a Star Destroyer or something like that.
Yeah, which would be really fucking sweet to see a Star Destroyer. And then I like the shot on the boat that is new as well.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, there's another shot of, like, the stormtroopers running through the hallway on whatever this vessel is. What looks to be, like, Greef Karga in some sort of, like, gunner position. It kind of looks like he's in one of the, like, gunner things in the Falcon. Like, he spins Ooh. Around real quickly.
Hell yeah.
I'm assuming he's not on the Falcon. But, yeah, we've got some action of, I actually don't know if this is Mando or not. Somebody flying in a jetpack out of, like, what looks to be, like, a pit of lava. But, yeah, there's just a little more action. It's a really quick spot. I mean, we're only getting about, like, 25 seconds of content total because the rest of it's title cards. But this is, it's really exciting. This is kind of cool. It gives me hope that we're going to get a little bit, something with a little bit more essence in whatever happens on Monday.
Yeah, a bunch of TIE fighters close to the ground. Hold on, I'm going to back up closer to the jetpack scene one more time.
Okay. It's so weird. It almost looks like it's a droid or something, like a super battle droid.
It really reminds me of the Rocketeer. The helmet's very shiny.
Oh, yeah, here's him running with the jetpack. I love that he has a jetpack now. I'm so happy about that.
Yeah, and then there's him landing like a superhero landing, like
yeah.
on one knee, like whole.
Yeah.
But is that him? That's the question. It looks like a bigger built person, you know, than if it were Sabine or something. Oh my god, I love this. Like this is more yeah. what I wanted to see in a initial trailer or sneak peek than what it is we got. I'm not complaining about what we got. I like what we got, but this is closer to what I would have preferred. I like this better.
Yeah. People are like, now, and of course this is happening, but people are again speculating like, maybe we'll see Bo-Katan. Maybe we'll see Ahsoka and whatever we see on Monday. And I'm just like, please God, I really just like don't want to see that. I don't want to see them yet.
Yeah, no, I think the way to go is just show a bunch of stuff that all happens in the first episode. So then you're like, oh, yes, I can't wait. And then you're like, whoa, now I have no idea what's going on. But that trailer was awesome. The first episode was still awesome and not ruined for me. I think that's the way to go with it. And I feel like I've seen a show do that recently. And maybe it was last season of Mando where I just remember, wow, almost everything we saw was in the trailer.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't remember enough. And then we also got, they talked about the writers for Mandalorian. Do we have information on the directors? Is it as different of a group of people?
We do have names. I don't know if we know who's directing which episodes. Mm-hmm. Because there are some newcomers. And then Bryce Dallas Howard, I don't think, is returning. But like Filoni, Favreau. I know Favreau's directing the first episode of the season. And I think Rick Famuyiwa was back in directing maybe again. And then there's, like, who is it? The guy that did Ant-Man or something? I don't remember all the people who are coming in. But it's a lot of, they're not a lot, but there's, like, two newcomers, I think, to the season.
Yeah. Well, Favreau wrote six of them, including the finale. Filoni got one and Famuyiwa. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's he it. Also got one. A shit ton of Favreau.
He got the writing credit for episodes 1 through 4, episode 6, and episode 8. Filoni's doing episode 5 and Rick Famuyiwa is doing episode 7.
And then we also got to see, switching off of Mando finally, we also got to see my bae on a really, really funny interview with Graham Norton.
You have to start specifying who bae is just in case people are new to the show. We're talking about Ewan McGregor. This is the second time you've done it. You have to say Ewan.
My bae equal Ewan McGregor equal Obi-Wan. Yeah.
And there. Alice thinks that you all should just know that by default.
Read my mind, guys. Come on, it's like not that hard.
But you know what I realized about the Kenobi show is that there's no title for this show yet. We still don't know what it's called. I don't think it's just going to be called Kenobi. I think it's still like untitled, technically.
Oh, that's a good point. I just assumed the title would be Kenobi.
I know. I kind of did too, but I doubt that they would do that because isn't that the name of the book? The Legends book is just Kenobi?
Yes.
Yeah, like I bet there'll be something more to it. And actually the interview that he did with Graham Norton I thought was kind of interesting because he mentioned something about how it's not just gonna be me. Like it's not just gonna be 100% Ewan McGregor as Kenobi. There's gonna be more to the story. Maybe there'll be side characters that they're following other stories on other planets or something, but he was like, it'll be a lot of me, but it's not going to be all of me, which I'm kind of like, okay, that's good, because I don't really need 100% desert all the time, personally.
We're just going to watch how he ages so quickly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Maybe that'll be in the title, like in the magic aging.
Yeah, it'll be a fountain of old.
Reverse Botox.
Right? I love it.
Maybe that's what happened.
It's going to be one of those things that they feel the need to provide an explanation for it, even though nobody was clamoring for it. We're all just like, look, it was Sir Alec Guinness, and then it was Ewan, and it's fine. But no, Star Wars is going to probably like shoehorn some stupid explanation in there of just like, he found the Fountain of the Elderly, and he drank from it, and that's why he looks so old, and it's just going to be stupid.
I love that. Thank you.
And we're all going to be sitting there like, we didn't ask.
Don't ruin him and age him like that. No.
This drink might be stronger than I think it is. I feel like a little tipsy or something.
That's
already
good. I've been drinking mine so slowly because I know it's strong and it's in such a big cup.
Well, now, remind me again, the thing with French martinis, it's vodka, Chambord. Is it topped with
pineapple
bubbles?
Juice.
Pineapple juice. That's what it is. Okay. Gotcha.
I think sometimes people put something like champagne in it.
I did see a version of it that somebody made on a YouTube thing where they did egg white. They shook up the egg white so it had the foamy thing on the top, which is always fun on cocktails.
Maybe that's it. Yeah. I don't know. I just know I like it. It's probably mostly because it's Chambord and it doesn't have like the normal martini stuff in it that I don't like.
Gotcha. Rose and I just had dirty martinis the other night. They're quite lovely. We do vodka, though. Dirty vodka martinis. Okay, so the next thing we have on our list is this holiday special stuff, which this is kind of exciting that we got some news about this. I kind of, like, keep forgetting that this is happening, the Lego holiday special.
I do, too, and I'm actually really excited about it now that this article, like, an article with more details and screenshots came out 2 days ago.
I love the poster.
Yeah, the poster is so cute. To Luke from Dad, and it's just a Lego hand.
It's so cute. I love it so much. And I have not actually seen, I haven't like played the Lego video games. I haven't seen the Lego specials. I watched like one or two episodes of Freemaker Adventures because Hera was in them. And I was just like, oh my God, she's like not even in them at all. I don't give a shit about this. And so I stopped. But they're very silly. It's very like, it's not parody Star Wars, but it's not a far cry from a parody of Star Wars.
No, I was watching my video Power Hour that my friend made in college for my birthday for me. And that one of the videos we picked was like the Lego Star Wars video game. And it was Leia just kind of walking like this, like. And the music playing was Hey Baby by No Doubt.
What
hey
the
baby,
hell?
Hey baby, hey. People do really dumb mashups. Like someone did a mashup to like Twilight and what's that Miley Cyrus song? Dun dun dun.
Wrecking Ball.
The moment I freaked out. Something, something, something about.
He's just being Miley. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, except they'd like change some of the words every now and then to like they change it, or there were captions underneath, and most of the words were the same, but sometimes they'd throw in something themed, like drink my blood or bite my lip or something, like just really dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, people just do weird stuff. I don't know. I can't explain it.
Well, I'm excited for this cast list. I think it was like Entertainment Weekly or someone that, Cinema Blend, that was really preoccupied with the fact that Kelly Marie Tran was coming back as Rose Tico, which is exciting. But I'm just like, I'm kind of not getting my hopes up because I'm just like, there's probably not going to be a ton of her. I mean, maybe she'll be like one of the lead characters in this, but I just am like, I'm not expecting too much.
Yeah.
But we'll get Billy Dee Williams as Lando, Anthony Daniels as C-3PO, of course, Matt Lanter as Anakin, Tom Kane as Yoda, James Arnold Taylor as Obi-Wan, and Dee Bradley Baker as the clone troopers. And all of these characters are, or not all of them, I guess, but like some of these characters at least are going to be interacting with Rey from what the synopsis says about this.
Yeah, like in a Jedi temple, sees 1-6, and then out of a Jedi temple, and let's get to Life Day, which I always want to call Light Day, and I don't know why. But the little screenshots they gave us in the StarWars.com article are so cute, because Poe has a Christmas sweater with BB-8 on it. There's also a cooked turkey with broccoli next to it.
Wait a minute, where? In one of these screenshots?
The StarWars.com article, the very
first
picture.
Oh my god, I see it. I see it now. Oh my god. Turkeys are canon. That's really freaking cute, that sweater that he has on. I want one of those.
Yeah, and it also looks like we're going to get Janna and Maz Kanata and an old Wookiee, like a grade Wookiee.
Why is Poe the only one wearing a Christmas sweater? This is really disappointing.
Why not?
Wait, I think Vader has one on too, actually. Hold on. He does on the box. On like, if you scroll down further, he has one on.
Oh my god, I love it. And there's a Porg, like, ice skating? Or Porg with a jetpack?
Well, why not? You know, Porg with a jetpack. Like, what? Why not? Is that a Santa hat that Dio has on? He's got something on.
Yeah. He's cute. But what I think is really funny or really interesting is there's one screenshot that is, it's like Clone Wars Jedi fighting, but it's against clear, well, it's a mix-up of stuff because there's a Sith trooper, their First Order trooper, oh shit, it's a Sith trooper. It looks like some old school ones. And then there's just the top half of Maul.
See, this is going to be fucking delightful. Like, whatever the story is about, the way that they talk about it and the fact that in this StarWars.com article and the fact that it's going to be like this, it's supposed to sort of be this heartwarming Christmas special thing, and the other like types of movies and specials that they recognize that they're sort of modeling this after. I'm really excited for this.
Yeah, I just zoomed in on this picture because it's just so weird because there's Samuel L. Jackson, clearly. There's multiple types of troopers from different trilogies. Then there's Greedo, I think a Yoda. In the background, there's the pod racer, like, I way zoomed in. In the background, there's, like, the pod racer engines.
Oh my god, Max Rebo is in the last one, the last picture. That's so weird. Which one are you looking at with all these people?
It's right below the one with or the second one with the turkey. It's kind of in the middle, above the Lego box.
Gotcha.
But yeah, the background's the pod racer engines from Anakin and Dickbag. Sebulba.
Oh my god, the fucking, I can't take my eyes off the top half of Maul. That's so fucking funny.
It's just like waddling around. Then there's, yeah, at the end it looks like everyone celebrates because there's laughing. There's Ewoks, there's Jawas. And it just looks really fun and cute. And there's starflakes. Snowflakes.
Rey's going to come back from time traveling and be like, I saw the Jedi. I learned how they all died. And they're just like, we're celebrating Life Day. Can you pump the brakes? We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, this is about life, not death. Fuck off. Bye.
Yeah, Jesus. But yeah, they talk about how Rey's going to have like an It's a Wonderful Life moment, which I'm like, what does that mean? That's going to be... is this going to be It's a Wonderful Life, but in Star Wars?
I haven't actually watched that movie. Is it like the dad goes broke because of the recession and or the what's it called? The one in the 20s.
I don't remember when the movie
the
takes
Great
place.
Depression. And then he tries to kill himself, and there's an angel at the end.
And so he, like, takes him around, and he's like, this is what your life would become if you killed yourself. Or this is, like, all the stuff that would happen if you were never born. That's what it is. If you were never born, this is how everyone's life would be different, is, like, the gist of the movie. And so then he, like, brings him back to present day, and then George Bailey is just like, oh, Merry Christmas, y'all bailing alone. And then he's, like, all happy again, and he was all sad before. So it's, I can't believe it. Like, how are you, like, an actual human and you haven't seen that movie?
I've had it on TV in the back, or I've seen it on TV in the background. I think the only, like, black and white Christmas movie I've watched is the original Miracle on 34th Street. Yeah, I've seen it on TV here and there, but I never saw the whole thing. It just didn't interest me.
It is a really long movie. I'll give it that. But I love the idea that they're going to, like, that somehow was going to be, like, tied in. I don't know how. Like, the way that the thing that she encounters in the Jedi Temple that allows her to time travel sounds like a port key from Harry Potter. So, I don't know.
What if she sees Ghost Padme and Ghost Padme guides her through the prequels, and then Ghost Leia and Luke guide her through the OT?
That'd be cool. I want to see this. I'm excited to see this.
Thank you.
Is this going to be canon? This is canon, right? Like, I know that, like, Lego Star Wars is kind of, like, canon adjacent, so maybe it's not, but
mm-mm.
I feel like it is.
I don't think it will be.
I'm going to pretend like it is.
Yeah, this finally got me excited about it, because I was just kind of like, okay.
Yeah, I'm like, I already said, I kept forgetting that this is even happening. Like, November 17th is going to be here. I'm going to be like, oh, fuck, remember this? But no, I'm actually excited about this. This is going to be fun. I love that we're getting all these characters back. I'm guessing that Daisy Ridley isn't going to be voicing Rey, since they didn't include that in the cast announcement. But I'll be curious to see who else in the cast is going to be returning.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to hop on to something completely different. There's new aerial footage of the Star Wars hotel. It doesn't look like anything awesome from the outside.
It looks less like they're moving dirt around and more like they're actually building a building, which is something.
Yes, that is something.
They're also, part of the building is shaped like a coffin, which seems ominous.
Yeah, I don't like that. And it's there are hardly any. It didn't say there's only like 30 something rooms in it. And also, they still say it's going to open next year, but I'm like, I don't know.
Y'all, come on. There ain't no way.
No, maybe it'll open next year for VIPs, where it's like one at a time. But
I mean, think about like how complicated it is to pull off what they're trying to pull off with this hotel alone. Now add, oh yeah, you have to wear a mask everywhere you go. Like, it's in Florida, so people are really gonna not. So I cannot imagine that 2021 is realistic for this still at all.
Mm-mm. No, but I bet as soon as they open reservations, it's gonna book up for like 2 years.
Yeah. I still want to go.
Yeah, I don't have money for that. I think it's like $1,600 a day. And yeah, most of them, there's only two private rooms in the whole thing. And most of them you have to share a room, it looked like.
I think it was $3,200 for 2 days for a couple. So it would be like, yeah, $1,600 a person. Or just 2 days, what is it, 2 nights? I don't fucking remember. It doesn't matter. But no. It's going to be hella expensive. I still want to do it.
That's fair. I can't think about spending money right now. Okay. Also, there's an opening crawl for the High Republic, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it was really interesting to me, I think, how this kind of echoed a little bit certain components from the Skywalker saga. Like, it's just kind of interesting. They talk about this beacon thing that sounds a lot like a Death Star, but the good side of a Death Star. Mm-hmm. Like, it was, I don't know. This sounds interesting. I love the format. I love that there are, let's see, it looks like three terms in all caps.
Mm-hmm. Republic, which mirrors having Galactic Empire in, Galactic Empire is in Return of the Jedi.
Yes. I don't think Jedi Knights was capitalized in the prequels, but maybe it was.
No, it wasn't.
Really?
Because there wasn't anything capitalized until Army of the Republic and Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, that's right.
But it follows the actual format that most of the movies follow. So that's what I like about it. And it's all that we have. It's a positive thing about the Republic, like, and everyone's happy and good, and there's peace and, like, glorious happy things, but then something, like, scary shows up. I like it. It's interesting and it's well formatted.
Yeah. I wonder if the guard, like the this new adversary that they're referring to are these like pirates that are supposed to be the antagonists in the High Republic.
Yeah, I think so.
We'll see. I think this will be cool. We've got a little bit of direction of where they're going to go from some of the clips and some of the previews that we've read. And then, yeah, I think Alice and I were talking about this off mic earlier, but there's a couple of books that are out there.
I saw someone post on Twitter the new Claudia Gray book, like the hard copy with all the messages on it. The embargo ends in mid-December, but the book doesn't come out until February.
Ooh.
They were like, oh my god, this is so good. Like, this is my new favorite young adult novel.
I want it.
I know. I hope they give it to us. I mean, they've given us the other ones. I don't know why they wouldn't for this, but no, I don't know. I'm like super stoked for High Republic. Let's see. What else? Well, there's lots of book news. There was a High Republic panel at New York Comic Con. I live tweeted it, so you can just look at our Twitter for that if you want to see it. And pardon any typos, I decided like 20 minutes before to put on press-on nails just to try them out because I was bored waiting for the dog groomer and I bought some. And it was not a good decision for typing.
What day was it that you did the, it was specifically a High Republic panel?
Yes, it was only High Republic. I think it was last Thursday.
Okay. Yeah, scroll through the Twitter feed and find that because that was really fun. Now, you did the other one too that was on October 9th, right? And that was just stories from a galaxy far, far away?
Yeah, it was just different stuff, like just random. It was the random Star Wars Del Rey thing. And they had a lot of the writers from a certain point of view in there as well.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of that, so we got a little tidbit from Tom Holler on Twitter about like the writing style for these type books and like how they're made, kind of. So he says that some characters just don't make the cut. So Porkins in the first one, Lobot in this one, don't get your hopes up. And so what he said is the characters aren't assigned. The stories are picked by the author with a few rules. So that was really interesting. I love hearing how they do that because it's always just like how they get the writers to do this stuff and how like whatever crazy editing process they do just seems so crazy and intense to me from what I guess it's like.
I love these little tidbits that we get from people at Del Rey about like how the sausage is made. Like this is one of those things where I would think that there was like a whiteboard of ideas where they are just like, all right, Claudia Gray is going to do this one and Kevin Scott's going to do this one and Beth Revis is going to do this one. And I love that this is actually like the authors actually get to pick their idea. They get to come to them and be like, here's the idea that I want to do. What do you think? And maybe they go back to the whiteboard and they're like, ah, well, someone's already doing that. Why don't you do this one?
Mm-hmm.
But I love that they get to have some say. I wonder if those probably end up being the really strong stories. And I suppose we'll find out soon because we have access to it, but I haven't started reading it yet. Have you?
No. I mean, we just got access to it the other day, and I had to finish Thrawn like 2 days ago. So
Yeah. I'm excited about this. I think from a certain point of view, it's going to be really good. And the first one was really helpful for me in terms of trivia. So I'm excited to get a little bit more insight into Empire because while it is a favorite for many people, it's not necessarily my favorite Star Wars movie. And so it's one of those, like the original trilogy is really hard for me to study for sometimes because there is so much and those movies have been out for so long. And so many questions have already been asked about them, and so you constantly have to kind of come up with new questions and find new things to study so you can get every single detail. So this is one of those things that's really valuable for something like that.
Yeah, maybe we can give our thoughts next episode, initial thoughts. That's the day the embargo ends, so we can just give a little heads up next time we record. So, yeah. And then one thing more in book news, because book news and Mandalorian are pretty much all they ever give us.
Hey. Yeah, and it's more trivia related sort of too. Pablo Hidalgo released a new book earlier this week on October 13th called Star Wars Fascinating Facts, 208-page book that has stories, tidbits, and general behind-the-scenes information. He did an interview with Sci-Fi Wire earlier this week that was really interesting, gives a little bit of insight as to what to expect from this book, but I already pre-ordered it. I just am waiting for it to arrive. I think it's supposed to be here sometime next week.
Very nice. Okay. I think that's it for news.
Nice. We got through it.
Yay. So, should we take a drink break before recap on tap?
Yeah. I might go get some tea. I might be double fisting here by the time we come back.
All right. So, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Thrawn with spoilers. Look at the timestamps if you don't want to hear it.
Yay.
And we're back. Recap on tap. Thrawn. Boom. Skip ahead if you don't want spoilers, because that's what we're doing, and we'll put the notes in the show notes.
Yeah, we've been putting this off for a while, because it took us a while to get through it, and by us, I mean it mostly me. It took a while to get through. I had to go back to the starting line, start again once I was halfway through, and start, because I had no idea what was going on.
I didn't finish it until 2 days ago. So what we're going to do, I'm going to give a super quick recap, like under 2 minutes, of everything that happens, and then just talk about the characters and Easter eggs.
Cool.
All right. Format is as such. There's memories and then there's real chapters. The real chapters are our current timeline, and the memories are about like baby Thrawn and Arlani and their relationship mostly.
They're not babies. They're teenagers, I think. Okay. They're cadets, or he's a cadet at the academy or whatever. But yeah.
Same difference. And Arlani we saw in the third Thrawn book that I don't remember the title.
Treason. Thrawn Treason.
Okay, yes, we saw her there.
I feel like I know her so well. That's really strange that she was only in the third one.
I'm pretty sure. Because she was with the Empire, the rest of them, or
Anakin. Yeah, good point. All right, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
So what happens is the Chiss find some random, or someone tries to attack them, and they're like, oh, it's just a dinky little thing. Fuck them. And then they find some transports on, like, the end or the edges of their little realm that have a bunch of dead people in them or all fucked up and stuff. And Thrawn's like, whoa, this may be a threat to the Chiss ascendancy. And people are like, oh, I don't know. A lot of people hate Thrawn because he's a little reckless. For reasons, and we all know whatever. So he's going to go, like, investigate. Arlani's higher ranking than him, and they're kind of, like, buddies together. And it turns out there's this stupid evil pirate dude who's our big bad in this book, and his name is Yiv, and we'll get to him. But yeah. He's trying to take control of all of these little planets outside of the Chiss system. So the transports were, like, blown up because there's people trying to escape his reign of terror. He's a total dick, and, like, that's all you need to know about him. So there's lots of fights and logicking and talking between Arlani and Thrawn, and we see Skywalker Shuri. Is that how
yes.
you say it?
Yeah.
Okay. Shuri, who was also in Thrawn Treason, who was the abnormally old Skywalker, but it's her when she's, like, 8 or 9 or something. Anyway, Thrawn figures out how to rally, like, one of the planets that hadn't crossed over to the bad side yet, how to, like, rally them to his side, defeats the big bad, and they capture him so they can question him, and then at the very end, there's this douchebag who's just, like, a rat. He's just, like, a ratty bitch-ass hoe, and he did bad things. He was stuck out in space, and then a voice talks to him, like, hey, yep, that guy Yiv, the bad one, he kind of sucked and was a dumbass, so we figured that he'd probably fail eventually, and let's just kill all the Chiss.
And is he talking to Kilori? Is that who he's talking to at the end?
I don't remember the name, okay. But basically, like, the big bad here, it's like a big bad in Mario before you get to Bowser.
Yeah, Yiv the Benevolent isn't Bowser. He's, like, one of the, I don't know what an equivalent would be.
Other things.
Like Boo, one of the big ghosts.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. But yeah, this book was interesting. One thing I thought was kind of fun that I didn't notice until I listened to another podcast that was talking about it. The intro isn't a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. It's a long time ago beyond a galaxy far, far away. So they are taking us a little bit out of, call it a comfort zone, if you will, just taking us out of the familiar and out into the beyond, which is interesting. But yeah, we get 13 memories. There are 23 chapters. It's a pretty long book overall. Like, the book is big. It's a 15-hour audiobook, which is on the long end.
Yeah, it's a lot. I feel like I got through it when I actually sat down to read it. I got through a bunch of it fast during whatever time frame I read it in, but it was like, I probably spaced it on a month or 3 weeks or something.
Yeah. So naturally, Timothy Zahn wrote this book. He writes all the Thrawn goodies. This was released September 1st, 2020 in the U.S. We're getting to it a month and a half later, so nothing wrong with that. But this is really kind of our introduction to like the ascendancy and the political makeup of the ascendancy and young Thrawn and sort of how he got to where he is. It's not totally clear what the time difference is between like present day and when Thrawn was. It sounds like he's a teenager, like a young teenager, but it's hard to say. We don't know how Chiss age. We don't know how old he is then, but it coincides with around the just before the fall of the Republic. Is what the sort of present day is taking place around.
I fucking loved this book, but it is a lot of detail just about the Chiss, how they kind of keep to themselves, and it's a big rule, and they're pretty conservative about that, and conservative about how the families work, and if you're in a good family, and like how much of a family member you are, because there's like people who are born like Mithrana Doodle Doo. He's a myth family.
Well, he wasn't born in the myth family, but then he gets, you know, he makes his way there or whatever.
Yeah, so they can be like selected and like plucked from their family or do like a magical like American Gladiator course to like get a different rank in the family, and they can like try to trade like baseball cards or Pokemons and stuff.
Or like a draft.
yeah, it is kind of like a draft. So it's a lot of politics and just like a lot of really interesting stuff with how the Chiss think and work. And I think they're very efficient. They're very kind of conservative and want to keep to themselves.
Yeah, and they seem kind of very stuck in their ways, you know? They're very much like, the Chiss never attack first. You know, that's the hard rule, and that Thrawn eventually breaks at some point. I don't remember exactly when, but that's sort of a big boo-boo that he makes at some point to sort of get a bunch of people to turn on him. And yeah, the nine ruling families are sort of it sounded kind of equivalent to like the British royal family. Like, there's some more distant family members that maybe aren't as higher up, but there's like the nine like dukes and duchesses and, you know, the higher ranking members that are sort of running the show. But it was interesting. Conservative is a good way to describe it, I think, definitely, because they're definitely they seem very stuck in their ways.
Yeah, they keep to themselves, and they just kind of don't look at anything else really besides them, or they don't really care to. They have a lot of information about different cultures and people, or aliens, I think they call them, but they just think they're superior to anything and that there's no point dealing with anyone else. So, there.
Yeah, so that's kind of the setting of where we are, somewhere out in the unknown regions in the chaos. And it's sort of interesting the way that they sort of, they don't have navicomputers built into their dreadnoughts. They have, you know, these little girls that we learned about in Thrawn Alliances that do all of the hyperspace travel for them, and usually they age out and lose their quote-unquote third sight, which is basically the equivalent of like force capabilities, by like what, by the time they're 13-14 years old. Mm-hmm. And then in the whole book sort of, I think, starts, and this is part of one of the memories with Thalias, her former name is Aelia Estoff, and she's a Skywalker, and she's having all this like sort of conflicted, you know, all these feelings about like, well, I'm starting to lose my third sight, and then I'm not gonna be able to do this forever. What the hell am I gonna do then? And am I like, it's interesting kind of watching her go through this process. And then we cut to her in the present day, where she actually sort of becomes a caretaker for a young Skywalker named Chiri. And you know, their relationship's really cute. I actually really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did as well. So we find out that Skywalkers, usually they just kind of disappear into obscurity when they retire because they just want to keep to themselves. What if they're killed?
I wondered about that, or I'm like, I wonder if they just become like, do they put them in families so that they can become like breeding machines for other Skywalkers or something? Like, I'm really curious as to what happens to them.
Or a nunnery.
Yeah, they just become nuns. No, that would make sense, because I feel like they need the bloodline to keep going. And that was one of the interesting things about like how people join the families. Like, you know, the old way was that you had to marry into a family in order to become a part of it, one of these nine noble families. And now you can be the trial born Or you can like get, you know, drafted into it, or you can, then once you get drafted, you can move up in different rankings. And it's, yeah, it's a really weird system, but I also think it's kind of cool because it's just like, oh, okay. Like you take out, you can remove the romantic component of it, or like an arranged marriage situation, and there are other options to ascend, you know?
I just can't picture any of them getting romantic. Like, they all just seem way too uptight.
Right? But I feel like Arlani kind of tries it, right? Like, doesn't it seem like she's kind of going for it with
like
Ron?
She's making a pass.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, hey, you know, we're at this, like, dumbass gallery. I'm bored as fuck and the food here sucks, so why don't we, like, go back to my place because it's a little more private. And then he's just, like, looking at her artwork, and he's, and she's like, do you want to fight? Like, it's just, it's such a strange, like, romance seems so foreign in this universe, you know?
So it's definitely not the same. And then the other thought I have about Skywalkers, like, the way I would explain it when they disappear is kind of like pulling a Richard Simmons. You know how one day he just decided to, like, quit and then disappeared and didn't leave his house and became a hermit?
Yeah. Maybe that's what they do. That'd be sad, mm-hmm. though.
Yeah. So, is it Thalias or Thalias?
Thalias.
Thalias. So it's really cool that she, like, she wants to be able to do more and get involved. So all of the Skywalkers have a nanny, essentially. I read it as Momish, but I guess it's actually Momish. I think it's so cute. But they take care of the Skywalkers. And usually they're not actual Skywalkers themselves. So for Cherie, it was really nice because she had someone who experienced what she experienced. And could kind of talk her and, you know, not be super strict and an asshole. So that was another nice thing about her. And she also was really, really brave. She just wanted to contribute more to the Chiss society. And that's how she kind of got her job, partially. But she wanted to contribute more. And then...
Are you talking about Thalias or Cherie?
Thalias. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
Thalias is the nanny. And... she was really excited to be able to actually do something because, like we said, they mostly disappear and she didn't want to. And then there's some political blah, 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 blah. But through her character, we get to see, like, the Chiss communities and what they look like because their stuff looks like it's above ground, but it's underground. So we get to see this cool concept of going places and then also the concept of a trial born. That's the American Gladiator stuff. And she's the one that goes through that. So that's basically what we see through her eyes. And she also is a proponent of Thrawn because he kind of brings her on like a magical mission. But I really like her character a lot.
I enjoyed her character to an extent. I was a little bit confused, though, because they spend a lot of the book sort of making me suspicious of her. I'm not totally sure what her motivations are because there's this whole thing where she's kind of been sent to like spy on Thrawn. And report back because the family's concerned that he's just going to like disgrace them with all of his like crazy actions and crazy logic. But so I sort of, you know, she meets him when she's younger. When she's a young Skywalker, they meet on the bridge of a ship and he gets yelled at because he's not supposed to be on the bridge of a ship, of whatever ship he's on. But, you know, they meet when she's younger and she remembers him and she's kind of a creep about it. Like she's a little bit like obsessive and she starts like follow his career as she grows up and really kind of keeps tabs on him. And then when she gets an opportunity to be on his ship, she like grabs at it, you know, without abandon because she just wants to like see how he works. I was just kind of suspicious of her the whole time because I couldn't tell, like, did she grow up to become like a spy for another family or for not even for the Chiss, for like another species entirely? Or is she just a fucking crazy person that has a romantic interest in, like, it wasn't clear to me through most of the book what her motivations were, which kept it interesting, but I was also, I kind of found myself like zoning out a lot with her too.
Oh, I came away with a totally different thought line for her. So my thing is she just really wanted to fly and like have a purpose. And the only way she could get a purpose with this was this dude, I think a dude from another family that was like, okay, but you have to tell me what it is Thrawn does. And I feel like when she met Thrawn, if she was really young, I remember thinking he was super cool and interesting, like following along what he does is, you know, something you do. It's just like, it's like Leonardo DiCaprio for us. You know, do we know what he's doing now? Sure. To some extent. Were we like, oh my God, when we saw him on the screen watching Titanic? Uh-huh.
When I was 10 years old. Or I guess, yeah. Yeah, 10 years old. Nine when I was watching Titanic. Good times.
Yeah, yeah. So that's kind of how I figured it. And I think she was, to me, I think she was really determined and had no intention to harm him in any way. But I like her character. She was really kind of brave and a black sheep.
She was very much at like the forefront of this book. I mean, I would venture to call her like a main character in this book. It was kind of Thrawn, Arlani, Thalias, and Ciri were sort of our top four, with random, you know, side characters and villains and some fairly strong supporting characters too. But yeah, the romantic component like really never played out at any point in this, which is interesting. I kind of kept waiting for it. I mean, like, Thrawn and Arlani have great chemistry together. They are great characters, and to have them in the same room and have Arlani sort of explaining to Thrawn, like, no, this is the political situation of this. How do you not understand this? And watch him be willing to sort of learn from her because he trusts her, like, so implicitly. It's really cool. It was really fun to watch their relationship evolve throughout the book.
Yeah, so Arlani is a big commander, and she becomes even bigger in Thrawn Treason. And she's a few years older than Thrawn and helped like proctor his exams that they thought he was cheating on, but they made a really big point of mentioning that Thrawn just did not understand politics. He could understand everything else, but when it came to politics and like talking to people, he just kind of that's his downfall. And but yeah, they had mad chemistry. I kept picturing them sitting in an office and her trying to do, you know, like the hand on the thigh thing.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Like, hey, oh my gosh. They went on a date to an art museum. Like, right? Hello. But yeah, she's very tolerant of him because people are suspicious and don't really like his methods. But she's worked with him since she was like 15 or whatever. I don't think we know how long ago that was, but she's worked with him for a long time, and she appreciates him and I think sees him in a different light than most people.
Yeah, and I overall, like, women are really well represented in this book. I really kind of like it, and you know, part of it is that I really enjoyed the sort of chemistry that they had and how I kind of kept thinking it was going to go in a romantic direction with them, and then it didn't. But yeah, I mean, the art gallery date is just hysterical. It was such a fun read. I mean, I remember like laughing out loud, like I listened to the audiobook for the vast majority of this book. I only actually did a little bit of reading. But yeah, Arlani's great, and I've mentioned this before, but she's got the sort of same accent as Edna Mode from The Incredibles, and that just makes me laugh every time she's speaking. I enjoy her so much. But yeah, it's great. I mean, like, this book definitely, like, it passes the Bechdel test. Like, you often have like Arlani talking to other women on her bridge, whether that's Wootro or Thalias, and there's not a ton of, you know, discussion. There's like literally no romance in it at all. It's really cool. And I think I didn't expect that coming from a Thrawn book. I expected it to be very much centered on Thrawn, and we're so centered on like these other women that are, you know, or these women that are all around him that sort of are, you know, I don't know, the supporting characters, but also the lead characters in this book.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And that was really cool and unexpected. And then as far as other main characters, I think, you know, there are different, like, planets, like I said, like, different planets out there that are being taken over by this person, Yiv. But before we get to him, there's this one character. Is this one Kilori, the ratty asshole?
Oh, Kilori, yeah. And I'm not totally sure what species he is. He's an alien of some sort. I don't think they get into it.
Yeah, all they talk about is his face has, like, breathing gills or flaps. And I kept thinking of a, like, Celestin person.
Yeah,
but I don't know. So evidently there's also this Navigators Guild that they're kind of like they serve the same purpose as a Skywalker, but they don't have that third sight. It's not like a mystical ability, and I don't know how, but they're professional navigators that are like the most elite navigators, and he's a little rat bitch ass hoe.
I kind of interpreted it differently because they keep referring to what sounds like the Force as the Great Presence. So it kind of sounds like a sort of Force sensitivity, but it's specifically geared towards navigation of hyperspace.
Maybe. I just figured it was maybe they memorized things really well, or they had certain strengths, and they're supposed to be apolitical, but this guy is not.
Yeah.
And he's bribed slash threatened by our big bad, who is not Bowser, Yiv the Benevolent.
Yeah, his story is interesting. Killory comes in and out of the story a lot. I would definitely call him a supporting player. But yeah, he talks about the navigators as like these, they go into like a trance and they sort of hook up to the ship, and that's how they sort of that's how they travel through hyperspace. But sort of on that same note, apparently the galaxy at large, or the chaos, I guess, at large, is not aware that the Chiss use Skywalkers, these young girls, to travel through hyperspace. This is like a Chiss secret that that they safeguard, you know, very closely, because they don't want, I guess, you know, that technology to be out there, which is understandable, or that like people kidnapping the young children. But I guess that's kind of already happened, because that happened in Thrawn Alliances, right?
I don't remember that one enough.
Yeah, there's like little girls, I think there's like a bunch of them that got kidnapped or something.
Oh, and that's, yes.
Yeah, Anakin and Thrawn have to like save them.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't find out who was responsible for that, if I recall correctly. But, you know, the Chiss are they're very distraught over the fact that like Thrawn, several times I think in the book, but definitely one major incident, like puts Ciri in danger quite a bit. It puts her in harm's way. And they're pretty pissed off about that, rightfully yeah. So. But, you know, Ciri's in sort of the same position that Thalias was in when she was younger, and that she wants to contribute and she wants to learn. And Thrawn teaches her how to pilot a shuttle and how to fly. And it turns out that Ciri is actually the one who was flying the shuttle that Thrawn was in when Thrawn met Anakin in Thrawn Alliances, which was mm-hmm. a really, really fun Easter egg, like, tie-in to get to. Once you finally got there, I will say it took a long time to get to that point in the book, and I wish that something would have happened sooner to tie what was happening back to the story at large.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised we got something to tie back, but besides the Arlani and Ciri, but yeah, it was really cool to see that moment, and that was the one I was thinking of last time we talked, that I was like, oh, you're going to love this one part. So some other fun Easter eggs is Thrawn's sister was a Skywalker. It's assumed. He mentions her being taken away at, like, 5 years old or something and never seeing her again.
Yeah, Thrawn was 3. She was 5. She becomes a Skywalker, and then she's just MIA. And it's not made clear that she's dead or anything. It's just that he never saw her. So I wonder if it's a situation where, like, maybe she got drafted into another family and maybe she's somewhere out there. I don't know. I really hope it doesn't, like, turn out that she's fucking Arlani or something like that. That she's, like, his sister. That would be quite awful, actually. But, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's no mention that Arlani was a Skywalker.
Oh, before. Yeah. I think they actually explicitly state that she wasn't. So you're totally right. Yeah.
And that's just an assumption that Thrawn... I mean, it's highly, highly... It has to be the case that Thrawn's sister is gone because was a Skywalker. But they don't explicitly say it. It goes through his mind when he finds out about Skywalkers. Like, oh, maybe that's what happened to her. But yeah, they go MIA. Wouldn't it be interesting if he met up with her somehow?
Right? That's what
book?
I thought too. I'm like, what if there's like a situation where we finally get to the story of like post-Rebels, what happened to Thrawn and Ezra, and she turns up or something? I would fucking love that. I would love to know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to be inside Thrawn's head when it happens, which is something that doesn't ever happen in this book. We see Thrawn acting and reacting to a lot of things, and we get a lot of points of view of different people, but at no point in this book, and this is something that Ken Napsok, I think, pointed out, or Scrimshaw on Force Center, we are never actually inside Thrawn's head at any point in this book.
Oh, you're right. It just gets explicitly stated in
yeah.
one way or another, either through him saying it or someone else explaining
yeah.
what he decided.
Yeah, we get exposition of the logic of how we got from A to B, but we're never actually inside of his head following the story along from his point of view. Which is really interesting and, excuse me, something I did not notice until they pointed it out. I had to listen to other shows talk about this because I was just like, I don't understand what happened in this book. Like, but that's the thing is that, like, I don't think that you need to know necessarily, like, the in-depth details of the plot of this book. Like, this book is setting the stage. the book is setting the stage. You're supposed to get to know the ascendancy and the political situation that they represent and Thrawn's place in it and how he got there. And you're supposed to meet the new characters like Ciri and Thaelius and figure out how they're going to, you know, how they're going to play into the rest of the trilogy. I don't think the plot was really essential to this book, but I was really distraught that I finished reading this book and I was just like, I still have no idea what happened.
Yeah, I thought it was really fun. So, and then the other fun Easter egg is the Chimera.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this little Easter egg. And this is something right that happens like really close to the beginning of the book. Like, I think it's like chapter 3 or something. But basically, the Chimera is the name of Thrawn's Star Destroyer in Rebels. So it's the ship that Thrawn and Ezra are on when the Purrgil take off to hyperspace in the Rebels finale. And so in one of the early memories chapters, in sort of the flashbacks of Thrawn, Chaos Rising, Thrawn and Thaelius are on, they board this alien ship. They encounter a species called the Bakosh. And Thrawn tells them that the Chiss are explorers, and he's, like, researching art. He's, like, an art specialist or whatever. And the Bakosh have been, like, battling and, like, losing to the Nikkar Dune. And because their numbers are starting to dwindle, one of the Bakosh actually gives Thrawn a ring. And he asks him to, like, add it to his art collection or add it to, like, the archives of the Chiss in order to, like, preserve it and sort of preserve the Bakosh species. And the ring has the three-headed serpentine, you know, depiction of the monster that is the Chimera depicted on it. So I thought that was really interesting because then we see the Chimera, you know, the actual design on the Star Destroyer. And it was a really fun thing to tie back to Rebels. It was a thing that nobody needed. Nobody asked for it. That detail and tying that back in that way was 100% like, it was so over the top, like not needed, but it was so cool. I really appreciated that. And I appreciate any tie into Rebels, but that for me was really neat. And I know that there are a lot of tie-ins to Legends and this stuff too, but for me, like that connection to Rebels was great.
Yeah, I didn't even pick up on that. But I really loved this book. Apart from the first of the most recent trilogy, this is my next favorite. And or it was just as like fun to get through, and the last 20% or whatever just fly by. I am pleasantly surprised at how much I liked it, and I super recommend it.
I'm also surprised how much you liked it, honestly. This book was written for Thrawn fans, and I think, you know, people who want to have like, they want the background on Thrawn, they want the background on the Chiss, they want to know how that society functions. This book was written for them. And if that's what you want, you're going to like really, really enjoy this book. And I think that I was supposed to really enjoy this book because I am a Thrawn fan. But overall, this really wasn't for me, to be frank. Because there was just too many characters that I didn't care about or I like don't care about yet. So I really don't care about like the stakes that come up, and I don't care about the battle, like, which normally I'm not into Star Wars for the battles at all, but now I'm really, really not into it. I'd rather see them than read about it. But I mentioned this earlier, but it just took too long to connect the book back to what's happening in the greater galaxy and what's going on in like the galaxy's core. It was just, it felt like such a chore for me having to get through this book.
Yeah, I didn't bother thinking about it in the context of the actual galaxy and what's going on, but I do love history stuff and like government, galactic government type plot things because they get messy. And also the space battles didn't bother me because unlike Squadrons where it's
Alphabet Squadron.
Yeah, where I felt like it was mostly just like, pew, 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 we're doing this, pew, pew, pew. It was more like, we're doing this because it achieves that, and more details about, like, the battle plans and the reason behind the maneuvers and the technology they used than it was, pew, pew, we're in space. Like, I could picture it more easily. So those didn't bother me like they normally do, and I thought they were, for the most part, much shorter. I mean, I know Alphabet Squadron is a book about a squadron, therefore space battles, but there's a lot more exposition explaining them.
Yeah, I think this book may have learned a little bit from maybe some of the other canon novels that have, you know, come out before it. So in terms of recommendation, I don't I don't know. I think I'd recommend it to a very specific person. This definitely should not be the first Thrawn book you read. If you want to read, if you want to start reading Thrawn, like, people who really enjoyed Legends, I think, might really enjoy this because I think they're pulling a lot of names and things from Legends. Maybe not applying them in the same way, but that's kind of the understanding that I've got. But read the first canon Thrawn trilogy first. Don't read Thrawn. I know this is a prequel. Do not read the Thrawn Ascendancy trilogy first. I don't think that would make any sense at all.
You know, I agree with that because we get characters back. And also, don't start with book two of this trilogy because they're probably going to reference book one a lot.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I agree the way to go is the first trilogy of new canon and then start with this one because there are callbacks, especially, well, there are callbacks to each other. So in book two, there's stuff about Anakin and Padme that we hear about in this book, and then in book three there's a character from book one, and then characters that we see in this book as well. So pretty much, if you want to do Thrawn, either go read like a Smart Notes.
I actually looked for that. I couldn't find it.
yeah or listen Spark to the notes, Living Force, because I'll probably do better. But read the whole first trilogy and then start this one, and then you have to read it if you're going to read the next one. So that's it.
I do think that I've seen mostly positive reactions from people. Like, on Twitter, like, people have been extremely positive. They really seem to have liked this book. I think maybe my problem is that I think I missed something important, maybe, and then I just couldn't get back on board. Like, if I missed something at the beginning. But if you're already a Thrawn fan, either from Rebels or from the canon Thrawn trilogy or even from reading Legends, like, read this book. You're gonna like it. Like, this is more detail on a already very interesting character, so it's fun. But I honestly, like, this actually made me I'm a little bit afraid for the High Republic, because it took 26 chapters, like, between the actual chapters and, like, the memories chapters, to connect the dots of this book back to the, like, back to the galaxy at large and what's happening. And for me, that was just way too long. And the High Republic is set even farther back, and it's probably not going to connect at all, because why would it? There's 200 years of gap between that and the Skywalker saga, so it's probably not going to tie back to that, or the Clone Wars, or Rebels, or the Mandalorian. It's not going to connect to anything that we already know as fans, I don't think. So I'm, like, sincerely worried about how much I'm going to care about the High Republic.
Yeah, I had no desire to connect it. I didn't care.
Yeah. And so if you have that ability to disassociate, that's great. I'm legitimately worried that I'm just not going to give a shit about anything in the High Republic.
When you restarted this book, did you restart it on audiobook or did you physically read it?
I restarted it on audiobook. I just don't have time to read. I don't have the time or the attention span to actually read a book.
That could be part of it too. Like, if I were listening to it, I don't have the ability to pay attention to audiobooks.
Yeah.
So I think most of the books that I really don't like, looking back, I listened to them versus actually read them. So that can maybe be a difference.
Oh, I'm sure it's a huge component. You know, like, because I'm listening to it in, like, in 10-minute chunks, and then I'm, like, not listening to it again for another day or two, and then I'm having to circle back and be like, what the fuck is going on? So it's not a great medium, but I just really enjoy the Mark Thompson performance. I like audiobooks in general because I can listen to them while I'm doing other things, doing the dishes, doing my makeup, whatever. I just don't have enough time in the day to actually, like, sit and read. It would have taken me 3 months to get through this book if I had to actually sit and read it.
Yeah, that's fair. So if you plan on reading any Thrawn, you must read this, basically, because it'll be important for the next one. And it references things from the trilogy that came out the past few years. But yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So recap on tap, donezo. Listener email / tweets. We have two emails.
Yes, we do. Our first one is from our friend Andy, who lives down in Australia. He sent us an email, and the subject line made me laugh. It was just insert funny subject line here. I love that. So yeah, he sent us a message that just said, to my favorite two disaffected hoes, no questions or anything, just wanted to send something in for Alice's birthday episode. So happy motherfucking birthday, Alice. I know the year of Alice didn't go as well as we thought it would, but we're almost through it. And who knows, hopefully we'll be able to salvage the end of it. And Laura, keep kicking ass on the Jedi way. The show is so damn good. Cheers, Andy. Thank you, Andy.
Yes, thank you. I love that note.
The year of Alice. Remember it was supposed to be the year of Alice?
Yeah, and I really thought to myself, there's no way next year could be worse.
Yeah, I don't think those thoughts anymore.
Well, I think I can still think there's no way next year could be worse, right?
I wouldn't think that because I think you thought that last year and then some things got worse. A lot of things got worse.
Third time's a charm.
At least you ended up liking the book that I was really excited about that I didn't like. So there's that.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Andy, again. And then we got an email from Ian. So Ian is iGallagher321. And they're also part of a new podcast called The Katana Cast with our friend Maria, Blurred Girl Jedi, and also Ben. And they are at The Katana Cast on Twitter. They just got up on all the new streaming. I think there's one episode out now. So that's probably a fun listen. It's not necessarily only Star Wars. So yeah, check it out. All good people.
Yep.
But this is from Ian.
Hello, Force Toast. My name is Ian, and I am a relatively long-time listener, first-time emailer. I loved last week's episode, Triv's Game, and thought I'd write in some of my answers. For Kanan and Rey, you could also go Kanan to Leia to Rey. I did not think of that. And for Connix and Grievous, I got Connix to R2 to Grievous. Did you have that one, or was that me? I think that was you.
I think that was you. The Kanan to Rey one... I thought about it afterwards and actually thought about Leia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The Connix and Grievous thing, like, did Connix ever actually interact with R2 in a movie?
No, remember in The Last Jedi, she was, in The Force Awakens, they were in the little bunker downstairs when he woke up. And then in The Last Jedi, at the end, when everyone's like, woo, and there's only 12 people left on the Falcon, R2 and she are there.
Oh, okay.
And on
Crete. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, and then for Embo to Thrawn, I got Embo to Anakin to Thrawn. See, I wouldn't have known that because I still don't know who Embo is, and I don't care.
Oh, I wouldn't have thought. Yeah, that makes sense.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Back cool. to Ian's email. As for having a polite disagreement, I got to say that while I hadn't listened to the Dr. Aphra audio drama based on all the complaints I've heard about it from everyone, if you're going to read the character, it's a necessity to read the comics. I felt very satisfied with them, and I don't think audio drama or maybe even a book is the form for this character and her story. So if you disliked it or felt iffy about it, I highly recommend the comics. Just clarifying, I'm talking about the original Darth Vader comics run. I don't know anything regarding the new Vader series or the Dr. Aphra series. Love the show and love you both, Ian Gallagher. Thank you so much, Ian. That's a great email, and I very much appreciate that somebody wrote in to do better than us on the 6 degrees of separation. I knew that somebody would. I knew that they totally would.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks again. Yay.
Yeah, that's really fun. Just to clarify, we did read the Dr. Aphra, one of the collections of the Dr. Aphra comic, and then I think Alice read the Darth Vader comics run that includes Aphra. I did not. Mm-hmm. Oh, you didn't?
No,
okay.
No.
Okay.
No, so it's recent. Got it. So it's a totally different Aphra than the ones we read. And it's a totally different Vader than the Charles Soule ones.
Well, he's saying the original Darth Vader comics run is what the one that you should read. Because she's in those.
I think there's a different one.
Okay.
It's not... Yeah, I think there's maybe a different one, the Charles Soule. I mean, there's several. Like, there's another one running now. Well, you know, there was a comic, like a Marvel version before the Soule one, and I don't remember what year it came out.
I mean, I know that she's a canon character. She wasn't ever included in Legends. She's more recent than that.
Well, yeah, but the Soule ones were... like 2017.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so thanks again, Ian. And now it's time for trivia.
Oh my god, I fucking love Christmas. Do you know that it's been Christmas on TikTok since like July? People have been making like Christmas content on TikTok forever, and I'm so happy about it.
Lifetime's about to do Christmas only starting on the 23rd
of October. Oh god, I fucking love it.
Yeah, I refuse. I love listening to only Christmas music, but I refuse to do it until after Thanksgiving, like the day after Thanksgiving.
I used to be like that, and every once in a while there'll be like maybe 2 days where I just need a little taste, and I'll just like turn on a Christmas jazzy instrumentals shit to listen to during the work day, and that's just, you know, whatever. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, I looked up on our schedule, and I think episode 50 is, like, December 15th or something. So
oh, nice.
I think we actually should try singing Mariah Carey, and we'll edit. Well, I'll edit it and make her voice really loud so that way you can barely hear us. But I think we should do that as a whole blooper reel for like 3.5 minutes.
Hysterical. Oh, my God. Okay, so we haven't had to do our own trivia in so long. What movie would you like me to quiz you on?
I'm not going to do well, so whatever you want. I'm picking Trivial Pursuit. Let's do 3 questions.
Just 3?
Yeah.
Actually, I have Trivial Pursuit somewhere. Let me go dig them out really quick. Hold on just 1 second. Okay, 3 questions. Let's find a good card. Ooh, there's an Obi-Wan question on here. Okay, I'm ready. I'm good to go. Let's go with the top one.
All right. What gigantic peg-toothed creature can survive the vacuum of interstellar space?
That would be the Exogorth, a.k.a. Space Slug.
Yes. Ding, ding, ding.
The Exogorth, I think, is getting its own story in the Empire Strikes Back for a certain point of view.
Ooh, just like Omi?
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited.
Next, who is informed by Count Dooku that the small band is hopelessly outnumbered? That his small band is hopelessly outnumbered.
Fuck, I don't know. Informed by Count Dooku that they're hopeless. Is it Mace Windu?
Yes.
Oh, good God. Shot in the dark. Good one, though. Yay.
That was a tough one. And question number 3, who breaks the chain linking Princess Leia to Jabba the Hutt?
R2-D2.
Ding, ding, ding. Yay, perfect.
Yay. Good balance of prequel content in there. Remember when we first started using these and there were no prequel questions?
Yeah, we were like, what?
Yeah. Okay. What is Yoda's 3-word response when Luke Skywalker declares, "I'm not afraid"? 5, 4, 3.
Something 2. Like, you don't know fear. That's too many words. I have no idea.
What is Yoda's 3-word response when Luke Skywalker declares, "I'm not afraid"? You will be.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
I was thinking, you don't know fear, which is pretty much the same thing. Half a point.
All right, fine. All right, who tells Obi-Wan Kenobi, "I'm just a simple man trying to make my way in the universe"?
Jango Fett.
Correct.
Another half point.
I knew you'd get it. Okay. Oh my God. That's a really hard question, actually.
Let's just go for it. People can learn.
I want to ask it. I'm going to ask it after. Okay. Who is the first rebel to verbalize that the Millennium Falcon's escape from the Death Star was too easy?
It was too easy.
This is A New Hope.
Leia.
Yes. Okay. Listen to this fucking hard-ass question. Where on Geonosis does Poggle the Lesser say he'll send his defeated warriors to hide? I actually really like this question. This is when you have to read the subtitles.
I have no idea. Fuck.
In the catacombs.
That makes sense, yes.
Poggle the Lesser says he'll send his defeated warriors to hide. That's a really good question. Bravo, Trivial Pursuit.
Yeah, bravo. Yeah. There aren't many of... I mean, there are... Okay. Most of them, I think, would... I think most of them we could... A good chunk of them between the two of us, and by between that I mean mostly Laura could figure out, but yeah, that's a good hard one.
Yeah, I like that one.
God damn it, that sounds like that's what she said.
That's a hard one. Yeah.
That's a good hard one. It'll come in big handy.
By the way, I realized right now when I went to go pee that there's like a piece of hair that's just sticking out to my left here, one of my bangs.
Yeah, you know, it's been sticking up straight upwards the whole time, like alfalfa, but I didn't want to say anything because of last time when I said you look really hot and meant sweaty, so I just chose to ignore it.
I haven't looked in the mirror much today, and I just saw myself in the bathroom while I was washing my hands. I was like, oh my God, that's awesome. Okay, yeah. All right, so what to expect from our next episode, that'll be out on... Or we're going to be recording the day after The Mandalorian comes out. So that's very exciting.
We're recording on Halloween.
Ooh. Yeah. We will be talking about episode 1 of season 2 of The Mandalorian. The new episode will come out on Tuesday, November 3rd.
Yeah, this is the first time that we actually know something we'll be talking about. And everyone get out and vote.
Yeah, do that. We'll also be talking about the Empire Strikes Back edition of From a Certain Point of View. We'll probably just give some initial thoughts. Probably not anything too spoilery. So if you're not up to date by the time that comes out, then...
It won't be released yet. I think release day is the 11th.
Oh. So we'll just give some initial thoughts?
Yeah. So we'll give some initial thoughts. No spoilers, because it'll be before the book's actually released, but that's when the embargo ends.
Dope. All right. Well, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Wow. We have not had anything in our list of what to expect from next episode except for the date in a long time.
Yeah, I know.
Or something snarky.
Yeah. I like it.
Woo!
Yeah. What are we doing in Toast 2? Do you want to go first? Should I go first? Who talks first?
You go first because I don't know.
Oh, okay, cool. So I think I mentioned this in my last Toast 2 or maybe even like an episode before that, but the Chicago International Film Festival has kicked off this past week. It'll be last week when you're hearing this. And it is a very fun event that normally takes place in the Streeterville neighborhood of Chicago downtown, which is a very ritzy neighborhood, but is also an awful place because it is a no man's land in terms of restaurants. There's nothing good to eat in Streeterville. All the restaurants there will disappoint, I guarantee it. But for years, I went to go see like a handful of movies at the fest every year with my aunt before she retired and moved out to California. So the last few years, I've gotten a pass just for me, and I've gone to see about 10 movies. Alice came with me last year when we saw Knives Out, which was really fun. Mm-hmm. And like getting to the AMC that's down there is like kind of convenient from work because I can like take a bus to get there, but then like getting home sucks because I have to take like a bus to a train or I have to take an Uber and it gets expensive. And so the film fest is virtual this year and it's really nice because I now can just sit on my couch and watch 10 movies. So I'm very much enjoying the virtual format of it so far. I've only watched two of the 11 movies that I got tickets for, but they've both been very good. So I'm excited.
Oh, that's awesome. Because, yeah, I know how much you love that. And last year, I liked the nachos that we ate at the bowling alley. And we met up with Sarah and Shelby. And we saw Ryan Johnson walk into a private room.
Yes. Yeah. He went into a back room. And then we saw him give a little Q&A with Michael Shannon at the front of the movie theater after the movie.
I got a picture of his back.
Good job. It was delightful. There was definitely a population of Raylos at the theater who were very enthusiastic about seeing Ryan Johnson, and that was really delightful to see. They were all very happy to see him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my toast too is going to be birthday themed. So I got 4 dozen roses, and they were beautiful with French macaroons and chocolate. And yeah, they were very pretty, and I've never had so many roses at once in my life. But yeah, I loved them. Laura, you saw them. My cake came out good. I made the white trash cheese dip after we got our nails done, and that was delicious.
Yum.
And yep, and I started watching 90 Day Fiancé from the beginning because I love that show. But it was a good day. It was a good, happy. The weather was perfect. It wasn't too hot because I hate being hot. And I just ate all my favorite junk foods and watched all my favorite trash TV. Also, so remember how we were talking about perfume last week?
Yeah.
Last episode?
We were.
And how the reason that I have the one that I do is because Benefit doesn't make perfume anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh my God, let me go get this. So Maria sent me this perfume.
What?
It's Star Wars themed perfume. And
what?
Do you see it? It's like a lightsaber and it does like this. It raises.
Oh my God, look at that thing.
And the scent is Padme. And it smells almost exactly like the perfume that I just like am too scared to use too much and don't have much left because it's retired.
Oh, the Dior one?
It's almost the exact same. No, the Benefit one.
Oh, the Benefit one. Got it.
It's the reason why I had to get the Dior one.
Got it.
But it smells almost exactly like the Benefit one. It's so close. So I'm like super excited. I'm going to smell my. I'm going to do this again.
That was such a. It was such a little spritz. It was a perfect little sound effect that you added in there. Well done.
Oh, it smells so good and it's so light. When my friend came over, she told me she thought her feet stunk, and so I just sprayed it with this.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask. If your coworker, we ran into one of Alice's coworkers at the nail salon, and she was. I wanted to ask if she had ended up coming over. That's fun.
Yeah. So that was good. It was a good birthday.
I can attest the cake was fucking delicious. I got to have a piece and it was really good.
Thank you. Yeah, it came out nice. My idea for it came out pretty too.
It was very good with the Baileys, if I do say so myself. It was a classic pairing.
Yeah, we had Baileys and coffee and it was great.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's it. Thanks for sticking with us, and hope you've had a good time and learned something of something, at least. If you like what you hear, 5 stars on Apple, or retweet us, or tweet to recommend us, and things like that.
Yeah, you can find our show on Twitter and Instagram at ForcedToastPod, or you can email the show at ForcedToastPod@gmail.com. There's also a Contact Us tab on our website if you want to just send an email to us through the website as well. You can subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, where you can also leave us a review. We are also now on Amazon Music, if that is your go-to podcatcher of choice.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to mix things up this episode.
Okay.
This is normally the time that magic exit password comes into play.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, the silly noise. If you stick around this far, it's a silly noise or word or soundbite that I make Laura suffer through.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to mix it up and give an inspirational quote.
Oh, good. All right, do it.
Okay, but I think a lot of people have reached their breaking point, and it's my favorite because it's my dad's favorite, and that's the only reason.
Go for it.
It's by Groucho Marx, so it's old. And it's, each morning when I open my eyes, I say to myself, I, not to Vince, have the power to make me happy or unhappy today. I can choose which it shall be. Yesterday's dead, tomorrow hasn't arrived yet. I have just one day, today, and I'm going to be happy in it. Let's roll the bloopers.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Boy. Meet me in St. Louis.
Either one.
In the songs. I'm going to just scratch that whole thing. Good timing. What's up?
Right. Ho? Is this supposed to just say hello?
Ho. Maybe like hi ho, like a pirate.
Smells like burnt cinnamon in here.
That doesn't sound like a bad thing.
I know. It's like my fireball on my tea warmer, but it's kind of funny. We can't smell it through the microphone, just FYI. Okay. Oh, there she goes. Okay. She didn't hear me.